It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. It is game night. NBA playoff. Pelicans taking on the Trailblazers. Do you feel they can go up 2-0? Brian and Ola East in studio. He's got the Pels cap. He's got the Pels jersey and the Pels undershirt. You know what? He's answering a question that we've thrown out there already on Twitter based on something that came out a little bit earlier. I'll explain in a matter of minutes. Saints, the latest on them. Des Bryant. Yay or nay? We'll talk about it. He had an interview with 24/7 Sports. He listed basically half the league as to who would be a good fit or not. Saints are on the list. We will touch on that here as well. We'll take a look at the NBA playoffs. A couple of games last night, a couple of games tonight. Some interesting storylines going in. And more importantly, we want your reaction and your opinions. You can always call us at 800-998-1003. You can tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. That's always a fun way to get involved on the show. Don't forget in hour number two, shots fired. That's where Brian and I go back and forth, have a little fun, Brian, and you lose 4-0.
You've been sniffing glue again, haven't you?
Shots fired segment in which we pick four, topics and segments or what have you that Pepito will throw out there that you've chosen for us. And then we go back and forth and go, what are you giggling about already? What? What is it already? I don't understand.
I didn't know I was the official topics.
You are. You're the guy
compiler.
You're basically the pitcher in the home run derby. Just throw them out there.
Lob them over.
Let us take
get them in the zone.
What we need to do. Touch them all. Timmy Grubb, speaking of baseball, joins us each and every Tuesday. 2:30 today as the team's coming back from a little road trip. Now they're home for a bit, and we will chat with him not only about the baby cakes, but also about the Major League Baseball top storylines. See how my Cubbies are doing. They didn't lose yesterday. You know why?
Because they didn't play?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Game suspended because of a little weather.
You're going to panic every time they play a game, aren't you?
Well, I like to see more wins.
They've done it. They've won the World Series in your lifetime.
Stop crying. I want more. Why can't I be greedy?
Wow.
Okay, let's use your very argument you just said. So Saints fans be happy?
Of course not.
What do you mean? Well, you won one. One Super Bowl, 2009. You're good.
No, not at all.
No, you're good.
Not at all.
You're good. That's why you should draft the quarterback, trade everything. Trade as many picks
just
you want.
Just go Ditka.
Do whatever you want because, you know what, who cares about winning now? Because that's what I hear from Saints fans, right? You got to win now. Well, you already won. So I'm using your argument.
No, you can't.
Why? Why?
Because they're the Cubs. There's no history there. There's a history of losing, not winning. What are you doing?
That's all the time we have for Brian and Ola East. Pepito, do you have anything you're going to throw out there today over the next 3 hours? Perhaps that people can look forward to?
Yeah, we got a few things, actually, to talk about. Obviously, we talked about your guest list.
Mm-hmm.
Pels win game two tonight at Portland? Yes, indeed, or nah? The poll is out there.
That's a really good poll right there.
It really is.
Yes, indeed, or nah?
Well, it is a good poll because 78% are saying yes, indeed.
All right, well, there you go.
22% that's saying good. Nah. Okay. And the other question of the day, mm-hmm. throughout the show, we can sprinkle this in. Callers can call in with it. Throughout today's show, let's chat some memorable sports movies and sports documentaries. Ooh. Give us your top three sports movies or sports documentaries.
Ooh. That's hard. That's almost like two separate topics. Because documentaries are they all 30 for 30s? Or does DeAndre the Giant one?
Oh, there's a lot. There's a ton of them.
Okay.
Not just 30 for 30s. There's a lot of them.
There's been some pretty good ones.
Lots of good
sports movies. Yeah. Yeesh. That could be hard.
I mean, have fun with that one.
Top three?
Might have been easier to come up with the top three worst sports movies.
I can't really think of that many.
Really? Because I can give you one right now.
One. Give me
Varsity
one.
Blues was awful.
Varsity Blues? Okay,
yes.
Give me another one.
Friday Night Lights. Awful.
Isn't that the kind of the same thing?
Almost.
Yeah.
That's why they were awful.
Yeah, they weren't good.
Okay.
Yeah, not at all.
One more.
Like Mike. Terrible movie. I can go with Angels in the Outfield, Air Bud. Anything with a dog in it, you probably want to just stay away from.
I was waiting for you to talk about the one that was the cup pitcher. Who was the cup pitcher?
Oh, yeah, with Roland Hoser or whatever his name was. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Big league, little leaguer, or something like that.
Little big leaguer.
Little big league. Or
something, it's something like around. That. Yeah. That's my point. Yeah.
I like that movie though.
Did you?
I was good. I was okay with that.
He was a Twins boy too, as well. Almost kind of like, similar.
You know what? The Cubs one wasn't that bad.
No.
Only because the little guy that they had like being his pitching coach was absolutely hilarious the entire time.
Where's Bull Durham sit?
Maybe mid-tier. Because it's not awful and it's not great to me.
Is Major League the best one?
It probably is.
It's top three.
It's got to be top
Major
three.
League's it's got top three to be
for me.
Top three.
For me, it's top three for sure.
Definitely. For sure it's top three.
Absolutely. Because
I can watch it, which, miraculously, it doesn't come on very often.
And you would think it would, especially during baseball season.
It's just funny.
It's great.
It really is. It's done well. Bob Uecker's the graph. I mean, it's just...
Just a bit outside.
I mean, it's one great. You ever. Know, I mean, the color guy is essentially, this is what it's like working
it's
with Pepito every
yes.
day. It's exactly right. That's a brilliant observation there. I mean, I just.
But the one-liners in Major League.
That's great.
I mean, it's just,
but the characters
it's nonstop.
Too,
the characters
manager
are fantastic.
Is what you would think the manager is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just great.
And that final scene when they win.
Toronto. Yeah, right. No, I was rooting for them.
It pulls the end.
Yes. That was a really good one.
We got to go out and win the whole thing. I mean, I love
exactly.
it.
No, it was good.
I love it.
It was good.
Great movie. Another one? Is Caddyshack one of them?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I like Caddyshack.
Do you like the rich? You like, see, you on the borderline of bad could be Caddyshack too.
Yep. No, see, I don't do sequels because Major League 2 is awful as well.
Yeah,
I don't do sequels. It's got to be the original.
Okay.
And maybe, just maybe, Remember the Titans. I kind of like that one. I like Coach Yost.
Mm-hmm.
Unnecessary Roughness,
another great one.
The Wildcats, right? I mean, to me, the dance... I was thinking of Wildcats is what I'm thinking of, the movie.
Goldie Hawn.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Unnecessary Roughness, yeah. You're right. But Wildcats is a funny one, too. Not, I don't know, top three.
Another
obviously.
Terrible movie? Ed, with Whoopi Goldberg, when she plays like the coach or whatever like that of the New York Knicks.
Oh, that was pretty rough.
I mean, you could just put that one
difficult.
In the toilet and just flush as many times as you can.
That was pretty rough. Yeah.
What's a good water polo movie? Do you have any water polo movies?
I'll say this, though. Is Field of Dreams the standard of what a sports-related... Okay, is it a sports movie?
Yeah, because sports-related,
it's the
right?
cure for insomnia is what it is.
Really?
It's the cure for insomnia.
Wait a minute. Wait. Stop the travesty. You're going to tell me Field of Dreams isn't a good movie?
I didn't say it wasn't a good movie. It just reminds me of Titanic. It just goes on and
No. No. That's one of those, it's on, you want to watch it.
No.
Even though you know what's coming.
No.
Really?
No. Shawshank is a movie when you want to just sit down and watch a great movie. Doesn't matter what time it comes on.
Field of Dreams to Shawshank Redemption?
You're right, because Shawshank Redemption is the greatest movie ever made.
Travis.
Field of Dreams is just...
No, come on. What, are you not a baseball fan? You're not a fan of him and his dad? And he'll throw in a pitch and the history? James Earl Jones as the journalist?
That's the only part of the movie that's great. If James Earl Jones is the voice of God over the movie... If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Come where? I don't even know where I live. I'm in the middle of nowhere with a big farm field with corn all over the place.
The Natural. How about that?
Natural's a good one.
Great
Natural's
one.
A good one?
Great yeah. one.
Oh, by the way, Little Big League is when
is that what it is?
The little kid takes over as owner
as
of the
owner.
Twins.
That's right.
That's, okay,
Rookie
that's
of the
it.
Year.
Rookie of the year. That's it.
It's with old Henry.
That's
what's his face?
That's my
Rolling
point.
Hoser.
That's my point. It's
yeah.
See, they're very similar.
How about, what was the Tom Selleck baseball movie in Japan? Mr. 2000 or...
Yeah, because Bernie Mac, unfortunately, did like some type of remake to it. And my God, it one of the worst movies in Bernie Mac's career. But Mr. 3000, when he has to go back and get one more hit. And he's like,
it was filmed at Jeffer Field.
Exactly. It was like 90 years old. He has to go back and get a hit. No, that's okay.
Okay. I've heard this before, and every time we talk about this, more than anything else, right? Rudy. Rudy's still
I love
great.
It.
I mean,
love me some Rudy.
When you hear the music, right, it's fantastic. Which is so sad when you actually hear, like, Montana or other people from it that were from that team. They're like, that's not exactly what happened at all. I mean, they made it seem like it was the worst day ever, right?
And we're counting, we're going to count Teen Wolf as a basketball movie, right?
Okay, yes. Teen Wolf's a basketball movie, right?
Why would you not? That's like a classic.
Sandlot?
sent that in the
Hall. Fantastic.
You know what? Put that in the Hall of Fame of sports movies.
Really? Top three?
Hall of Fame of sports movies. It is Mount Rushmore-esque.
Look, it's good.
Wait.
We're talking about four.
Don't make me come on that side of the table.
It's one of four all time.
You play ball like a girl.
I mean, it's not bad.
Not bad.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez became like the greatest Dodger in history.
Ever. Forget about Jackie.
I don't know if I'm putting it at four.
What? You, sir, you're disrespectful.
But you're using Mount Rushmore. Again, here's the music. I mean, it's just...
This is the music from the final game in Rudy, too.
Yeah, but again, it's...
So the suspense will build.
Yeah.
I know. You know what? Maybe that should have been a shots fired topic. Because
what are you talking about?
I'm upset right now.
Why are you upset?
Mount Rushmore S.
Sandlot's good. You're talking about the top four of all time.
You just said Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams. I put Sandlot over there before.
Rudy.
You're killing me, Smalls.
How am I killing you?
Killing me, Smalls.
I don't think I am at all.
You know what?
Sharif with another one. Blue Chips. That was kind of
Chips.
That was kind of one of the first ones to kind of take a little peek behind of people going, wait a minute, is this college basketball? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The program
is fantastic.
I like Tim Kupp.
I don't remember
Am I
Tim
one of
Kupp.
The only ones that like Tim Kupp?
What?
Yeah, exactly. See?
How old are you?
Well, I am.
Oh, okay.
Pepito's age.
No, you're not. Pepito's much younger than you are.
Okay, well, hold on. The much is heavy here.
I mean, much younger.
Really?
Much younger.
Okay, here's another one. Sharif's killing him right now. Mighty Ducks.
Oh, of course.
Goodness.
Mighty Ducks is a good one.
Another one. That could be very much in the Hall of Fame.
Even the trilogy. I like all three.
Yeah, like all
not as much as the first, but I like all three.
Really? There's a lot there.
Sharif is like a savant for sports.
I liked Hoosiers, too.
Hoosiers is really good.
Another good one.
Another good one.
Good sumo wrestling movie.
What's the one where was it Samuel L. Jackson became the coach basketball team?
Oh, yeah. Coach Carter. City?
Yeah.
Coach Carter.
That's a good one.
Based on a true story.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I like something of that nature where, you know, the odds are really stacked against you.
The Mighty Ducks were based on a true story as well.
No, they weren't.
They were.
No, they weren't.
They made a team after them.
Stop it.
They did the Flying V.
What?
Gordon Bombay is the greatest coach almost ever.
Him
and Ted Lasso.
Again,
I mean, it's like
not real. Speaking of not real, but I think you want to talk Mount Rushmore. It has to be. Like it's the George Washington of the Mount Rushmore. Rocky.
Can't argue.
No, you can't.
Absolutely cannot argue.
In terms of how long it has lived on, for starters.
Yeah.
I mean, the people of Philadelphia think that actually happened. Yeah. I mean, they really honestly
There's a statue of
the
man.
Yeah. And did you see the dedication? There was a part of it that didn't that
the
hadn't
only
been
one
there.
I don't want is just take out number six and everything else is fine. Just take out six.
Well, I'm just saying though, but Rocky, that's the fact where people go to that city and to go run the steps to go take pictures to the statue of a movie that it's a movie.
It's like It's not even worthy of saying Mount Rushmore. It's not even worthy of saying Hall of
George
Fame.
Washington
exactly.
On Mount
he is the founding father of sports movies.
Because
right
other
there.
Movies are great and you tune in to listen to.
Yeah.
That became a part of the city.
It is. It's their fabric.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just crazy.
I mean, they play that on third down. They
exactly. The
little
Rocky
piece of
theme.
Music
yes.
Before the movie ends and he knocks out Apollo Creed and somehow they both go down. It really was, though. It was a great movie. You had storyline, you had character development.
Yes. I mean, the spinoff, Creed was absolutely phenomenal.
I can still watch it. I know what happens, and I'm still a little, is he going to do it?
I mean, 1 through 4 has to be probably the greatest sequel of movies I think ever made. Because the Ivan Drago one.
It's my favorite one still. 4 is my all-time favorite.
Because that's how I train. You know, I run in the snow. And the log.
You were doing good.
That snow in the bayou, right?
Yeah, in
New Orleans, you're going to run in the snow.
In my mind.
You were doing good when you said that it was the George Washington of movies.
Right.
Everything after that, you just screwed up.
You
poo-pooed the whole thing.
I wouldn't go that far.
Before we go to break, I'm going to throw out Miracle, because it's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Okay, here's something that just got sent to me. Ready? Is it? Karate Kid. Is Karate Kid.
I mean, a tournament takes place at the end.
Let's be honest. Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi and Danielson,
I take it back.
Now, that was a good sequel, too, by the way.
I take it back.
What?
Can't put Sandlot in the Mount Rushmore. Not when you got Karate Kid.
I mean, Karate Kid is...
Yeah.
I mean, that scene, the crane kick.
I want a crane kick right now.
I go back and watch it now. didn't the tournament, the All Valley tournament,
Yeah.
Didn't it seem much longer when you were a kid?
Yes.
It seemed like it went on for hours.
It's like 6 minutes. It really seemed like he went through the NCAA tournament bracket to get to Johnny. Yes. It just seemed like it took. And it's like a 5 minute scene. I mean, I thought that match seemed longer before he got the legs swept, and you know, it's like. Man,
I want you to remember some of these sports cliches because I'm going to use them on you. And you know, during
what are you talking about? You're done. It's over. I just beat you.
No, I mean, I just want you to know that mercy is for the weak.
I'll say this: another one I actually enjoyed really a lot was A League of Their Own.
Oh, I love me some League of Their Own.
League of Their Own. Was Tom really Hanks good. Was fantastic.
Super well done.
Tom Hanks in that movie would be what I would view the graph as a manager. Like, let's say, you know, I don't know. They're like, you can't call games anymore, but you got to stay in baseball. And he's like, fine, I'll take the job, but he's forced. Yeah, in order to still call games, maybe, or something.
No crying in baseball,
and he's like, here you go. And I could just picture the graph. That would be him managing a team in which he has no business or didn't want to manage, and then he comes along. I mean, couldn't you? I mean, really, I could.
I think you know what?
Yeah.
Yes.
Playing on Twitter in a dugout. Hey, what are you doing? Yeah, go out there. Just what are you doing?
You girl over there. What's your name again? You. Catch the ball.
I could. I would cast the graph.
One of my favorite scenes from A League of Their Own is when, I want to say they're in the World Series,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Dugan, they're leaving the house, the team house, and these two little kids have a baseball, and they come up for an autograph.
Oh.
He signs the ball, he hands it to him.
Oh, God, yes.
And the kid looks at him and he goes, avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan.
That's good advice right there.
Yeah. It's good advice, kid.
Another
out of every scene in that movie, that's the one that stands out to
you? It's subtle. It's just it's subtle and hilarious.
And it's great advice. It's almost like when you play the Humpty theme and he says, you know, to all the ladies, peeps and Humpty, you know, Humpty is forever. Above the rim. No, I'm sorry, not above the rim. White men can't jump.
I was going to say.
Oh, yes.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Good comedy.
Two words, Rosie Perez. All right.
All right, here's.
Done.
I don't know if this is. I'm going to use this as we go to break. So
okay.
You know.
All right.
Jerry Maguire. Jerry Maguire wasn't bad. It was kind of one of those. Okay, it's one of those movies that your date or your significant other would actually watch with you. It had enough sports in there that you're like, okay, this is the life of an agent, because there are not many movies about the agent, right? And you kind of rooted for him. I mean, a guy won an Oscar, and Cuba Gooding Jr. And it probably made the career of what's her name, and that was about it. That's all you know. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. It's like you know, I mean, you have the mom trying to move on. It's okay.
It's just I'm
just saying though, right? I mean, it's of all the movies you just named, it's probably the one Anna, but yours and Pepito's future would probably sit and watch and cry.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Pepito's giving me the cue to sweep the leg. It can happen to you.
Well, I'm just saying it's the, you know, it's the one, you know.
One of the greatest sports movies ever made.
You know, he's
No
like,
Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan.
Just saying. Okay, maybe the one of the worst movies ever made, but it's so bad you kind of got
to
watch
it. I tried to like Any Given Sunday.
No.
I tried because Pacino is just a little weird.
No.
Million Dollar Baby.
That is a great movie.
It's a good one.
Million Dollar Baby's great.
That's a good one, because remember, that was when boxing females were kind of just starting. And
that was great.
That was a good one. Anyway, have a little fun with this.
Yeah, throw in documentaries, too.
Yeah, we can definitely touch on this more than anything else. See, Anna likes The Blind Side. That was one of those. I was like,
yeah.
I didn't mean that in a bad way, but it is what it is. Anyway, coming up, Daniel Salerson joins us live from Portland. Right before his shoot around, we'll touch base with him, see what's going on next on ESPN New Orleans. Literally, he's boarding the bus for shoot around, so we'll talk to him later. As the Pels getting ready to take on the Portland Trail Blazers tonight, game two, 97-95, the game one win. Brian, we got plenty of questions. We can get into this as well, because for starters, they were the only team that won on the road in game number one on Saturday. Sunday, we had one team win on the road as well, and that was your Pacers.
Surprising.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that they won, but how they won.
Yeah, no doubt. Bottom of the hour here, we're going to get into a little bit on this Pels Trailblazers game and really some interesting components to it. But we got some questions of the day we want to throw out there for you as well. We'll go to break here in a quick second. But, Pepito, you threw out there on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA about the confidence level that people have in this game. Going into it. And I used the word poise yesterday, Brian, as the one thing that stood out to me as the one thing that that stood out more than anything else in the win on Saturday. That was poise. And this team handled it. Handled the fact that, I mean, let's be honest, I probably thought they were about to lose the game and slip it away, and I don't know how you would recover from it. What is the one thing that stood out to you in the win on Saturday?
To me, it was more or less the idea that the Pelicans kind of found out real fast that the playoffs are at a different tempo, different physicality. It seems as if a lot of times early in the game, or even when Portland would go on their runs, the Pelicans were looking for kind of the refs to bail them out with whistle calls and didn't understand the refs usually swallow their whistles and let guys play physical down the stretch. And once the Pelicans made that adjustment, I mean, you heard Jrue Holiday say it at the end. Mm-hmm. If he was going to go for that foul, we were up by three, I was going to foul him hard. Well, that let me know he kind of caught on that, hey, you know, it's the playoffs. If I'm going to put him down, I got to put him down. And I like the adjustment that they made with that.
That's one of the keys going into the game today that I'll throw out there for you as to what to expect and what to look at. But by the way, Zach Lowe, and I retweeted this, broke down what worked for the Pels, what didn't for the Blazers, what he expects today using video, using still pictures, circling players. I would suggest you go check that out. Do a little fan prep. Because, Brian, there's always games within the games, and it's the adjustment and the coaching aspect of it. That's why I love the playoffs so much, because it's not just one game. It's a series, and the adjustments are going to come by the quarter, by the possession, by the game for sure. The number one thing I think you're going to see today, if I'm Portland, I am absolutely making sure that somebody on that jersey that says New Orleans on it gets in foul trouble early. And the way to do this, I go to what Damian Lillard told reporters after the game. How does me and C.J. McCollum only have three combined free throw attempts? It did two things. A, it made it seem like Portland got hosed and didn't get to the line. They went to the free throw line 12 times. New Orleans 10. So it's not like it was a disparity. And it wasn't like New Orleans went. They were 9 of 12. New Orleans was 7 of 10. To your point, Brian, there weren't a lot of whistles called.
No.
I mean, 12 and 10, that's not a lot over a game in the playoffs where there was contact. So they let you play. Two, what it said was, we're going to, and he said it, we're going to have to force the whistles to be blown by the referees. So I fully expect the first quarter to be a barrage of drives and kickouts or drives to the basket by Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum to either get Jrue Holiday or whoever it is that's guarding them in foul trouble. Anthony Davis, Meritage, I mean, I'm going right at their body. I mean, it's either going to be an offensive foul or it's going to be a defensive foul. Like, I fully expect the first quarter, or at least the opening minutes, to do that. And that's why, to me, key two, survive the first quarter through the Pels. Survive means the following. Foul trouble. Being down 15 or more. And survive, maybe the energy in that building is going to, you know, it can affect the shots don't go down. That's why I would counter if I'm the Pels, do exactly what you've been doing. Ball movement, make sure your shots are good, drive to the basket. I know they love to shoot the threes, Brian. I would almost say, unless you are wide, bleeping open, don't drive to the basket. Like, stay close in that first quarter because then it would be an uphill battle and all that other stuff. Remember, you only have one day rest in between game three, which is Thursday. Those are my three keys right there. Just look out. Here come the drives. I mean, they're going to try to get you in foul trouble because the Pels were not in anywhere near foul trouble, I thought, on Saturday. Never felt like something could really happen, even though AD got some, you know, his fifth. And I'm Portland. I'm trying to create some fouls, especially at the guards and people that are guarding me.
If I'm the Pelicans, then I counter that with one guy, Anthony Davis. Feed him early, mm-hmm. often, and just make him be a bully down low. Because, I mean, it's the flip side of it is that if you can get Anthony Davis in the paint, it's going to open up those shots for Meritage and Jrue Holiday and Ian Clark and guys that can stroke it from outside. If I'm the Pelicans, I just dare you to stop Anthony Davis. Get hit to him on the block, let him go to work, and let Portland do all of the work from there. Because if you have to double down on Anthony Davis, somebody's open. And with the Pels shooters, you know, hitting the way they did in the last game, if they can continue to shoot like that, Portland's going to have a long time because you'll be trying to match what Anthony Davis is doing down low and you don't have a guy to match it. And you're going to try to match that with outside shots because you're going to try to drive and kick. I don't think Damian Lillard is going to challenge Anthony Davis too many times going to the paint. I think, you know, especially after that block. you're not going in there. Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, you're not going. Those are defensive guys. You're not going in there often. You're going to the paint, but you're looking for fouls, not shots.
One of the keys that I think is going to be part of tonight as well is that you do have Rajon Rondo. I'm not even talking about the assist or anything like that. He's been through this, and he understands what Portland's going to be doing, what the momentum of game. This is a key game. You can come here 2-0. You're in control of this series for sure. You give a team that didn't win a lot of games towards the last week or so of the season, and they have some confidence issues. Whereas here, you've just re-energized. Not that you haven't, but you made sure the SKC is going to be bumping on Saturday and Thursday here for games 3 and 4. But, you know, again, that's why, to me, I'd write it on the dry eraser board. Win at all costs. I mean, just do whatever you can today. I don't care if it's by a point, you know, or just find a way to get one more point at the end of the night. I don't care if it's ugly. I don't care if it's, you know, serious. It doesn't matter. Because if you could steal two, but again, this is a series that during the regular season, Brian, went 2-2. Yep. Each team won and lost on their home court.
Do you think the Portland Trailblazers have kind of fooled themselves that the last 5 minutes of quarter number four is actually who they are instead of who they were the other 3.5 quarters? Because it seems to me like the Pelicans dominated that game until they kind of looked up and was like, wait a minute, we're up by 13 with 5 minutes to go. We got this. And that's when Portland made their run.
They were up 14.
14.
With 5 or 4 minutes to go, because I wrote that down exactly right. They had this game. And it's what we talked about yesterday with David Wesley. And he chuckled because the Pels hurt themselves. They're their worst own enemy there. Lack of passing the ball all the way around. Taking bad shots like the Anthony Davis 3. I get it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
But inside of a minute, you cannot take that shot. I mean, you have to drive.
You can hold the ball if you want to. Kick it out. Let's reset.
Just
do something.
Drive. You know, and that's the thing. But, again, I think this game is winnable. There's no doubt. As long as they follow those keys. But I'm prepping fans today.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be
right
way
now,
different than last
year. Just be prepared. And I'm going to have to do my best to not tweet inside of 3 minutes of the game. Here we go when you hear... And it's just whistle after whistle. I'm just be prepared as to how that's going to go. Because if I'm Portland, it's desperation mode. You cannot go down 2-0. And, again, I'm just going by the words of Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum. They were not happy. They went to the line and combined 3 times. And they felt that they missed open shots. And they did.
They did.
And they're going to make those shots. So let me throw this to you as we go to break. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do you let Damian Lillard go off for one of the all-time greatest playoff single performances and win? In other words, he wants to go for 41 again like he did the last regular season game? Have at it. Wants to go 50, 55? Have at it. C.J. McCollum, done score 10.
Nobody else can score.
I put Drew Holiday and McCollum. I rotate guards around Lillard. Never double team. Go off. Nurkic, the other guys, Amino, nobody else gets double digits.
I don't know why that's not employed more.
Like, I would do that today.
Exactly.
Because in game one, you did a lot to guard the guards.
Yes.
And that's a lot of energy and all that. Tonight, hey, Damon, you want to come out aggressive? Have at it. Dude, I'm the matador when he drives the lane. Ole! I'll stand there and then I'll move aside. That's a really good looking layup, and then I come back on the other side.
And very
I
mean, if Dame Lillard wants to score 100, go for Will Chamberlain's record.
Go for
it. Nobody else is scoring in this game.
I mean, that's what I would do.
Take everybody else out of the game.
That's what I would do tonight to change it up a little bit from game one, because I think they're going to expect somewhat the same defense coming out there, making their guards work and all that other stuff. Tonight I'm going, Damian, have at it, my friend.
I agree. Nobody else can score.
When we come back, the list is out. Top 12 jersey sellers in the NBA and the top 10 merchandise selling teams. New Orleans, not represented on either. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover brought to you by the King Firm in hour number one. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. KingInjuryFirm.com is the website. And you can find out all the information there from all the different attorneys that are a part of the King Firm. And more importantly, you'll see they specialize in personal injury, maritime offshore, mass tort, workers' comp. Just give them a call. They'll talk to you about it. One of any of the attorneys will talk to you. Free of charge. I mean, they'll tell you. Do you have a case? Do you not? Maybe they recommend a different kind of law that you maybe need or anything. That's what they do. They take care of you. There's videos to give you some information, to give you some examples of why maybe you would need an insurance company attorney or somebody that knows how to deal with those insurance companies because they hire pros. So should you. Ring the King, 909-KING. We'll return to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. We did it in hour number two yesterday. We gave away a pair of Jazz Fest tickets each and every day this week. We will give away one pair of Jazz Fest tickets, Pepito. It's real simple. You will play, what is it? We called it an audio montage. Is what it is. It sounds like this. When you hear that, Brian and Elise, that means it's time to call 800-998-1003. Todd, back over in the Laredo Studios, will pick up the phone and go, hello? And you go, I want me some Jazz Fest tickets. Boom, it's yours. Just like that.
That's all we got to do?
That's it. It's really that easy. Really? I was going to make it way harder.
Just call the
number. I was going to make it way harder.
Call the number and say you want Jazz Fest tickets, right?
Well, when that montage plays. Bro, not right now.
But what time
when
are you
that plays.
Play that montage. At
what time?
Yeah, but what time are you going to play that montage?
I usually let Pepito decide that. We did it an hour or two yesterday. What hour? Should we do it this hour? Should we do it
I just kind of play it.
Just kind of whenever you want to play it?
Yep.
Okay. See, we're testing it right now. People were calling.
People were literally calling in.
I just want to make sure Todd's awake as well. But no, we're good. We're good.
And a number to call.
When you hear it, again, we will, and we might drop a hint or two, such as, you might want to pay attention right now. So it's not right now.
No, not going to happen right now.
We were just playing.
That's a teaser.
What you're going to hear.
Yeah.
And we will let you know.
Interesting. Jazz Fest tickets, right?
Jazz Fest tickets.
1-800-998-1003.
I will make sure that you're on air.
Oh.
So you can't do it. You know better than that.
I like Jazz Fest.
Here's a suggestion to our movie question that we're asking, Pepito. What about The Hurricane with Denzel Washington?
That was great. That was a really good movie.
He was a boxer. Reuben the Hurricane Carter. Story of an athlete wrongly accused, sentenced to life in prison. That's too dramatic to do almost in sports.
That was actually
pretty
good.
That's what I'm saying. All right, well, let me ask you this. What makes a good sports movie? Is it the action? Is it the story? Is it a comeback?
But it's all subjective, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm asking you. Like, what makes a good sports movie?
All of those things.
Yeah, but I'd say if it has a little bit of everything, then that's what makes it great.
Okay.
Like, some of them are good, but if it has every bit of that, like, as you said, Rocky. Rocky had every bit of that.
Right.
So that's what made it great. Nothing else needed.
Rocky had the drama.
Had everything. Memorable characters.
Underdog story.
But again, the story was him becoming champ.
But that was the great thing. He doesn't win it the first go around because then it just makes it all folky. And it's like, really? Some nobody's just going to come and beat the champ?
Right.
That's what was great about it. Yeah, you saw him get right there to the cusp of making it happen. And then, you know what? Not yet. That was great.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I mean, again, that's one of the reasons I like that movie.
Loved it. Loved it because it wasn't. It wasn't just this story of just underdog coming from nowhere. He wins it all. He rides off into the sunset. No, let's make him earn it. Let's make him earn it a little bit.
Make you earn your pay right now.
French fries are coming?
French fries are coming.
Yes,
That's how
sir.
We pay Brian and Elise, by the way. We treat him to lunch every other now and then.
Hey, listen. I get paid.
About once a month.
Every now and then.
It's definitely every now and then. It's like about a month.
With you? With Gus Kattengill? Yeah, it's maybe. That's what it is with you.
I picked up your tab last time you went somewhere. That was last month.
You don't even remember what you're talking about.
No, I do. What are you talking about? We went there. Brian was there, too.
Where?
Down the street, right here where we were.
What's down the street?
You know.
That place?
That place right here, down the street.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't say the name of a restaurant in the air?
I'm just saying it's down the street.
It's Hooters, Gus. You can say
I'm just saying it was down the street.
It's a place of business.
Yeah, it's a place.
It's not illegal.
Everyone hung out at.
You can have wings there.
You can. Let's do a little Saints. So, Saints doing their OTA started yesterday, Brian. So they were doing, of course, stretching, running, working out.
Yeah, you know, all the stuff they do in the offseason that nobody watches or pays attention to.
But now it's together. Now they're wearing the same shorts and shirts.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, obviously.
They're doing it as a team.
Yeah, because you need somebody to spot you.
Jogging around the field in a group. Supporting one another.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you want some real news?
Yeah, please.
Okay, some real news. Georgia linebacker, edge rusher, Lorenzo Carter, per Nick Underhill of The Advocate, tweeting 6 minutes ago, visiting the Saints. Brian, we're now 9 days from our coverage of round one in the NFL draft. Looking forward to it. We'll be live at Dave and Buster's beginning at 6 p.m. Saints, do they pick late into the night? Do they pick earlier? Do they move up for a quarterback? Do they move up for an edge pass rusher? Do they move up for a receiver? They've been hosting a handful of players of those position groups. Back on the 13th, Anthony Miller from Memphis, a 5'11 former walk-on, Brian. A little speed on him.
Yeah.
Right? Met with the Saints. Steve Dunbar, receiver from Houston, was at the Saints' local pro day. SMU defensive end, Justin Lawler?
Yeah.
Visited. He's going to be visiting, apparently, this week. And, again, edge rusher Lorenzo Carter visiting the Saints. I think what they've done in the offseason, they've made it to where, as we've talked about, they can go wherever they want in any direction they want. Obviously, you start with, do you move back, do you move forward? And we've discussed here on Tuesdays in the past what's a wasted pick, what's not. I don't think anything is, really. This is a playoff team, as it is. But it seems like a bit of an arms race in the NFC right now. So, I don't know. Seeing a little edge rusher there. You bring in Cam Meredith last week as your receiver. He seems to be a guy that he thinks he's going to be healthy and ready to go. He says he's going to go work out with Drew Brees in San Diego with the other receivers. So he must be good enough to probably, again, start getting that report with the quarterback. But, I definitely think there's three that I could see them going for sure. It's tight end, it's receiver, maybe not so much now, but I did it in the past, and edge rusher.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much the bubble that they have right there. It wouldn't surprise me, though, because the Saints need depth along the offensive line and defensive line. If a guy's there and they really like him, they pull the trigger on a D-tackle or maybe even an offensive guard. Wouldn't shock me at all.
You think they go O-line in the first round? That would be shocking.
It's a crazy concept, but, I mean, it's not like I haven't called that one before.
Stop it. They had two last year. They had two first-round picks.
Oh, yeah, really?
Let's talk about the first one.
Oh, okay. So what happens if they pick at 27 and there's nobody on the board except, you know, maybe offensive guard Will Hernandez? Think they're going to pass on him? How'd that work out last year when, you know, Andres Pete went down? Where's the Neo Calamente right now?
Hey, Pepito, what time is it right now? Yeah.
Time to go to break.
It's time to go to break. Imagine that. I'm just saying. It's not me. I'm not disagreeing or agreeing. It's just time to go to break.
Boy, I tell you, next time you decide you want to be all generous and pay, you know, pay the tab,
what?
I'm ordering extra fries. I'm just letting you know.
I'll let you go as far as cheesy fries.
Oh, you're a big fan of this time.
Splurging.
Boy, keep doing that, baby. You might get lucky tonight.
Woo. You know, you keep with your attitude over here to my right. That appetizer, that's gone.
I don't need I don't need you to get me anything.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm a grown man.
You heard that?
I'm a grown man.
We're adults.
Okay. That's, hey, you know what? Committed that to memory. That's
okay. You're going to forget in 5 minutes anyway, so.
Probably. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies, folks. Ring the King, 909 KING, Hour 1, brought to you by the King Firm. We'll be back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back. Sports Hangover Hour 1, brought to you by the King Firm. Personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, and workers' comp. That is what they do. They will take care of you when you give them a buzz. Also, Pepito, looking forward to next week. We'll be at Dave and Buster's, 6 p.m. for our draft coverage. They have, games, a really nice bar area. It's going to be special seating for folks to come out and see the draft. Brian, I know you're looking forward to it as well. Mm-hmm. We had fun with our coverage last year. It flew by. Marlon Fayright, 4K, you, me. Pepito said he's going to go show up and play whack-a-mole or something. You don't even have that.
Or whatever similar.
That's ridiculous.
Street Fighter. Cruising USA.
Well, we are going to have a Papa Shot competition. Because we're going straight from the Zurich Classic over there, so we'll have a little time after we set up and get ready to go. And just letting y'all know, y'all going down.
Sure.
It's over.
We believe you.
Yeah. I'm
just... It's going to happen.
You're going to be too busy doing the draft stuff.
Oh, this is before the draft. We're having a pop-up
shot. Oh, warm up.
Yeah, we'll
warm
do it live. Up. We'll do it live. We'll do it on Facebook Live. You can view it. That's that kind of confidence I have.
Yeah, nobody wants to watch that.
You're probably right. Let's
I
get
am
you
right.
updated on some NFL storylines. Dez Bryant, Ian Rappaport, Brian, yesterday. What did he say? What did he say?
Well, he probably said something like Dez Bryant to the Saints is a very possible thing.
Exactly. So 247sports.com puts out a pretty lengthy piece on his departure from Dallas and et cetera. And, wow, lots of teams in his wish list, per se. Number one, the Giants.
I could understand why.
Okay. Giants, he says they got a heck of a defense. They're going to pay OBJ. So coming back, playing with him, Sterling, the tight end, Manning, it's crazy. They draft Saquon Barkley, the number two overall pick. That would be crazy. He enjoys visiting the Big Apple, he says, and only half-jokingly adds how much he'd enjoy being a fashion plate there.
Okay.
Just saying. Next on that list, the Houston Texans.
Oh.
Says he gets to stay in his home state. A lot of the Texan players have been friending him on social media. Will Fuller, J.J. White, DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson. I could see that fit there.
That works. Outside, you know, opposite of DeAndre Hopkins. That's a good look. Deshaun Watson is there.
Jacksonville Jaguars. The article says Des thinks this can be a match. Ironic, as the Jags just moved on from Allen Hurns, who arrived in Dallas to play the X. But sure, if Dallas thinks Hurns can do Des-like things here, maybe Jacksonville thinks Des can do Hurns-like things there. Next up, the Rams.
The Rams want everybody.
24/7 Sports says, Brian's very specific here. He loves the city, loves the direction of the team. The quarterback is going to be special, and Gurley's a beast, he says. Brandon Cooks is a good deep threat. That would be fun, and, of course, most players like LA.
I wonder how much fun it's going to be until Brandon, you know, Cooks starts to wonder if his closed mouth's going to get fed.
The Rams are trying to build some sort of, like, Madden team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only works
we'll
on Madden.
We'll see how second-year coach will do that.
Yeah, right? It only works on Madden.
But the Patriots, a lot of people say, hey, this could be Randy Moss 2.0.
No.
The Pats don't really have anyone there.
They don't, but he's nothing like Randy Moss. He can't do what Moss can do. That's called separate.
The Saints. This is what 24/7 Sports writes after talking with him. Had the Cowboys been wise enough to make a goodbye Dez decision efficiently, they could have shot Bryant to coach Sean Payton in a trade a month ago. Now, New Orleans has Michael Thomas as their top guy. He assigned Bears ex Cameron Meredith to be the second guy they've signed, rather. But still, Dez in New Orleans playing the old Marcus Colston role as a supplemental receiver is interesting. There is a sense there, and not just because Peyton follows Dez on Twitter. First off, when did Marcus Colston become a supplemental receiver?
I'd love to know that.
When that happened. All right, so let's here we go. Okay? There's some people that are like, hey, why not give him a call? It depends what he wants. Obviously, I'm going to go the same route that I did with Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
Okay? If he wants to come here for what I can affordingly pay you for a one-year deal, you want to come here and sort of do the prove yourself, let's make a run at it sort of thing. Saints play Dallas this year. Get your chance to go at them. That's fine. Yeah. But if you want to do that, all right, let's do it. He got cut because he was set to make $12.5 million in Dallas. You're not getting double-digit money here.
No. Not
now, really. Again, I like that receiving core really well. Thomas, for whatever Bryant, because remember, a one-year deal, he has to be on his best behavior. A one-year deal, he has to perform. A one-year deal, you're not hurt if he doesn't perform, if that makes any sense to you.
Okay, keep going.
Okay?
Keep going.
So
keep cooking.
Give me Thomas. Give me another guy that has some size on him. Again, he doesn't have to be the guy, right? He says he should have been more professional in this article. Should have taken it more seriously. Things like, again, maybe you've awoken something of a player that wants to prove himself. If he wants big money and a big deal, what better way to do it than an offense that can give him some catches and an offense that no one's going to be double-teaming him. And look, Meredith, Bryant, Thomas,
mm-hmm.
Watson, who can give you something at the tight end,
mm-hmm.
Kamara,
That's an offense that I'd take for a year.
Just let me know when you finish.
I'm
smiling like a kid in a candy store right now.
What you got?
Not just no.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe not.
No,
I mean, hell no, you don't sign Dez Bryant.
Okay.
No. He can't separate. Can't separate. So he's not even getting off the line of scrimmage. You can't put him outside because he won't be able to separate against the corners on the outside. You can't put him inside because he doesn't do something that Sean Payton demands his wide receivers do. He doesn't run effective routes. That's number one. That's the number one problem. The number two problem, can Dez handle not being a number one receiver because his entire career he's been the number one guy? That's the second problem. And number three, not even the money, not even financially, because even if he was willing to take a one-year, $1 million deal,
mm-hmm.
He's looking to prove himself. You can't prove yourself in this offense. Somebody asked Brandon Cooks if he can prove himself in this offense and what he said. Closed mouths don't get fed. Michael Thomas is your number one option. You want to go down and listen until you get to Dez? Let's see. We got Alvin Kamara. You've got Mark Ingram, who's also in a contract year. You've got possibly Willie Snead coming back because he has up until Friday. You also have Cameron Meredith coming off of ACL with something to prove. Mm-hmm. Ben Watson is going to need his catches. Mm-hmm. Should I go on? Because Dez ain't touched the ball yet. And what happens when Dez don't touch the ball and he's in a crying turkey and wants to prove himself? How many games did it take Adrian Peterson before Sean shipped him out?
I hear you. All valid points, which is why when this happened last week, remember, I'm like, no, I'm not calling him. What did I say, though? The reason I would entertain it, if he wants to play for something that I can afford, that's very minimal, right?
Yeah.
And he gives me another weapon. Because there's the one thing that you always hear from Sean Payton. He's what? He's an offensive genius.
Indeed.
We'll find a way to get you the ball, or we'll find a way to use you, right? You're talking about separation or things of that nature.
That works for guys.
Okay, but is he going to go against the top defensive backs or not?
No, not at all. Okay, but that works for guys when you want
to separate from.
He can separate from me
now. Yeah. He had some good games for Dallas.
Yes, but that's not the problem. It's not. See, Dez in a role that Dez wants to be is
right.
going to be the problem.
No,
because
I agree.
You're signing $1 million contract. You know what you're looking forward to next year?
Look,
your next
I
contract.
Told you, and we both agreed on Friday, the fact that quickly an agent was out there shopping around and making phone calls, right?
Yes.
To seeing, and it was immediately 10 for 10 of zero that he said had wanted him. So I hear you. Again, I'm saying if he wants to do an hour. Or if he wants to do a 1 year deal that's $2 or $3 million or something like that, come on.
If Dez can come and tell me I'll pay you $1 million to play for my team, and I say no.
Okay, all right. Sports Hangover continues next with hour number two. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm. Don't go anywhere. That's just a taste of shots fired to come on ESPN New Orleans.